by Dave Baldwin.
But surely if he really did see something like that, he'd have told us earlier.
Well, I don't think he could really believe it himself. He probably thought we would just laugh.
So why tell us now?
Well, I suppose that now he's seen it twice, he really believes it. He could be mistaken after a fleeting glimpse the first time, but now it's confirmed. He's seen it again. No mistake. It's really there.
Yeah, so either he's lying or there's something peculiar going on.
Oh, I'm sure he isn't lying. I mean, he's so upset by it. He seems to think that the dog is dead or dying. He said that the man looks very sad.
Yeah, who knows what goes on in that mind of his. He's got an overactive imagination.
So, what do you propose we do?
I really have no idea. I mean, if it's something physical, we could go and look at ourselves. It seems that usually there's nothing to see.
Well, he's now seen it twice, and it's not a place that he need often pass. So perhaps it appears all the time.
Do we know exactly where it is?
Yes, I told you. It's in Falcon Street. He only comes that way when he's walking home with Janet and her mother, rather than taking the school bus.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There must be 40 or 50 shops in Falcon Street.
He said it was at the end of the passageway by the Halifax Building Society. I mean, that's at the top of the street, isn't it?
Right. Well, I guess that the first thing to do is to visit the scene. Let's go down there this evening when I get home from work.
OK. We'll do that as soon as you get home. Most of the local shops have closed. Just can't compete with the out-of-town superstores.
Seem to be plenty of charity shops.
Well, I think if it wasn't for them, the whole street would be boarded up. Halifax is just up here on the left.
Yeah, they're still open.
What? We're not going in, are we?
What did you think we were going to do? No, we're just looking. I have to ask some questions.
What questions?
Here we are. So, this is the passageway. Let's go down and see where it leads to.
It's very dark.
Doesn't seem to lead anywhere. Just a brick wall.
Strange. I don't see the purpose of it.
Just the space between two buildings that's been roofed over. It probably led to the back gardens or outbuildings before it was bricked up.
So, nothing could have come out onto the street unless it had been in here. I mean, it wasn't coming from somewhere else.
Not unless it could pass through a solid brick wall.
It makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah. Makes me think he's got us on a piece of string here. Right, let's go and speak to the Halifax person.
Do you think we'll be able to understand the regional accent?
What do you mean, Halifax, very funny, come on. Yes, thank you. I'd just like to speak with someone who knows this building well. Perhaps someone who's been here for a long time.
Well, I've been here for 11 years. I'm Sarah Coles, the branch manager. Let's go through to my office. Take a seat.
Thank you. I'm John Carter. This is my wife, Anne. We live just a mile away in Cannon Rise.
It's nice to meet you. How can I help?
Well, we're trying to make sense of a strange story told to us by our 8-year-old son. He tells us that he's witnessed an unusual scene at the entrance to the passageway at this side of the building. We wonder whether anyone else has had this experience.
It's a very strange request, I know, and And it could, of course, be just a figment of our son's imagination, but we can't think of anyone else who may help us.
Yes, I understand. First, let me assure you that if it is indeed a figment of your son's imagination, then he is not alone. In the 11 years that I've been here, I know of a dozen or so reported sightings of some being emerging from that passageway. And I'm sure that there are many, many more that go unreported.
Tony saw a man carrying a white dog.
Yes. He emerges from the passageway and looks around. Seeing that there are people about, he turns and goes back.
But the passage doesn't lead anywhere. Where does he come from?
Well, the local historical society became involved a year or two ago, and they managed to trace the history of that passage. From the middle of the 19th century, there was a covered pathway between these buildings, which led to a small wooden construction at the back, which was used by a veterinary practice. The wooden building has long since gone, and the passageway was bricked up in the 1920s.
So this is a ghost?
Yes, I suppose so, though the historians insist on referring to a spirit.
Well, you're here more often than most. I mean, have you seen it?
No. We're given to believe that only certain people will be sensitive to the spirit world. Clearly, I'm not one of them. Though I can certainly hear barking.
You hear a dog barking?
Yes. Sometimes when staff have a break, they go to a room at the back of the building for a cup of tea. Quite often the sound of barking is very loud and heard by all of us. But looking out of the window confirms that there is just an open field with no dog anywhere in sight.
That's amazing.
Oh, it sounds a bit spooky.
We all thought so at first, but now we've got used to it and we'd miss it if it ever stopped. I'm sure there's nothing malicious about it. It would be nice to know who it is, but that's just to satisfy our curiosity.
Yes, I suppose background noise can become quite normal and non-threatening, but the source of the noise is surely anything but normal.
Yes, of course, but it's been going on for such a long time that we simply accept it. One of the members of the Historical Society has a theory about the dogs and the owner who appear in the passageway. She's done quite a lot of research. If you're interested, I could give you her telephone number.
Oh, yes. Thank you. That would be very helpful. Hello. Is that Miss Trubshaw?
Yes. Sonia Trubshaw.
Oh, good morning. I was given your number by the branch manager of the Halifax Building Society. She tells me that you have researched an incident at the old veterinary practice behind the Building Society offices.
Yes, that's true. Is that something that's of interest to you?
Well, yes. My son has twice seen the man and dog at the passageway and is very disturbed by it. We wondered if knowing more about the man could help to quell his misgivings.
Well, of course, I'll help in whatever way I can. I have learned quite a lot about Tim Marchant and his dog, and perhaps knowing the facts might serve to allay your boy's fears. How old is your son?
Tony is just 8.
Oh, that's a wonderful age. Old enough to appreciate life's complexity, but not old enough to acquire cynicism. I'd love to meet your boy, Mrs...
Anne Carter.
I'd love to meet young Tony Carter. Would that be possible?
Well, do you think it might help?
Well, it might clear up some of the mystery. He may find that there really is nothing to worry about.
Very well. Well, can we come to see you?
At any time. I'm always here.
This is Tony. How do you do, Tony?
Hello, Mrs. Trubshaw.
And you've seen our Tim Marchant and Pip twice now?
Yes, I have. Is Pip the dog?
That's right. Pip was Tim's constant companion after his wife died.
Is Pip not well?
Tony, how was Mr. Marchant dressed?
Well, sort of old-fashioned.
And do you know why that was?
Well, no.
Tony, you have a special gift, a special power. You can see people and events from many years ago. Not many people have this power. I don't, but I wish I had. What you saw was something that happened in the distant past. The man, Tim Marchant, died in 1867. His dog died about a year earlier.
So it all happened more than 150 years ago, Tony.
But I saw them twice.
Oh, yes, you saw them. Did they look different in any way? I mean, different to anybody else? What made them stand out from the crowd? Why were they so memorable?
The man was crying very loud, crying and holding the dog very tight. I wanted to help him, and I walked towards him, but he turned and went back into the passageway.
So what you saw was something from the past?
A ghost?
Yes, some people may call such things ghosts. We prefer to call them spirits. Completely harmless visions of things past. Things surrounded by such strong emotional and spiritual aura that people such as you, who are sensitive to such things, can see them as solid, substantial things. In a way, you have the ability to see our history.
But how do you know that what I saw was this man Marchant?
I have local newspapers from that time. An incident was reported in the local newspaper. A widower called Tim Marchant appeared in court accused of breaking into a local vet's property, attempting to retrieve the body of his dog, which had died after treatment at that practice. He said that since his wife's death 2 years previously, the dog, Pip, had been his constant companion. He wanted to bury the dog's body in the family grave in St. Mary's graveyard where his wife was buried and where he would join her on his own death. But the local church authority would not permit him to bury the dog in consecrated ground. The court upheld the authority of the church and the man and the dog he loved were parted. Tim Marchant died shortly after the court case and was buried in the family grave with his wife.
So what happened to Pip?
Well, as far as we know, the dog's remains were either buried or cremated at the vet's.
So his ghost or spirit would remain there, would it?
Well, yes. If Pip had or has an active spirit, it would manifest itself in the vicinity of its burial.
So Mr. Marchant could come and get Pip's spirit and take it to the family grave?
Yes, that's a nice theory, Tony. But I'm a historian. I deal in recorded facts. We know that Tim Marchant went to his grave wanting the remains of his beloved dog, Pip, to be buried with him. We know that he failed to get agreement to that. All of those facts are recorded in a local journal. We know that a grave exists in St. Mary's Churchyard bearing the name of Tim Marchant and his wife, Audrey. Anything else is, I'm afraid, guesswork and conjecture.
But I saw him twice, and he had his dog with him. I know he loved the dog, and he was cuddling him and crying. I think he was crying because they couldn't be together.
I'd like to think you were right, Tony.
Why don't you believe me?
Calm down, Tony, calm down.
Sorry.
It's all right. You must understand that I don't have your gift. Few people have. I can only deal in facts. And whilst I'm sure that you saw something which the rest of us didn't, I can't jump to conclusions based on one person's observations. Of course I believe you. Why shouldn't I? But I couldn't record this as part of the established history of the event, because that's just between you and me, Tony. And I thank you for it.
You said that Tim Marchant's grave exists in St. Mary's Churchyard. So is it still identifiable?
Yes. It's at the back of the church, close to the rear gate. It's marked with quite a large headstone and low ironwork marker around the burial plot.
Perhaps we should go and have a look at it.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'd like that.
Me too.
Well, thank you so much for your help, Sonia. It's a fascinating story, and it answers a lot of questions. We'll keep in touch.
Yes. You know, I think we all feel a bit better about things now that we know the story.
How do you feel about it all, Tony?
Much better, thanks, Mrs. Drubshaw. But I'd still like to help Mr. Marchant.
Well, I hope you can. You're certainly in a better position to help than the rest of us. I mean, you can see him.
Behind the church, she said, but there must be 50 graves here. That's going to be a long job.
Yeah, but she said it was beside the back gate, so let's start over there.
Oh, yeah, I've forgotten that. Well, if you look that side, I'll look over here.
Here it is. Audrey Marchant, 1791 to 1856, and her devoted husband, Tim Marchant, 1789 to 1857.
Oh, well done. Oh, well, looks as if someone has cleaned up the names so we can read them. 150 years of moss and algae wreak havoc on stone, doesn't it?
Perhaps Sonia cleaned the names when she found this grave. Perhaps we should clean the rest of this headstone.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, but I have a better idea. I'll run it past Tony when we get home. He has a greater sense about this business than either of us. Oh, we found Mr. Marchant's gravestone. It has his wife Audrey's name on it, as well as his own. I wondered about adding the name of the dog, Pip. What do you think?
That would be great. I'm sure Mr. Marchant would like that. Would you be allowed to do it? I mean, we don't know that Pip is in there with them, do they?
If by they you mean the rest of us, then no, we don't. But then he isn't, is he? By putting Pip's name there, we'd just be making a gesture.
No, Dad. I think that once Pip's name is on the gravestone, Mr. Marchant will be able to bring him to live with them. I think he was just visiting the vet to see Pip and was unhappy because he couldn't take him to live with them. But if we put Pip's name on the headstone, that would make it his real home and they'd be together again.
Oh, that's a lovely thought, Tony. So let's do it. You'll have to get permission from the church people, John, and then find a stonemason to do the work.
Yeah, okay, I'll go to see the church minister tomorrow. We'll take it from there. Well, today's the day.
It just seems strange now that it's done, doesn't it? I mean, what's it all about? By putting the dog's name on that gravestone, we are indicating something that just isn't true.
Oh, it wasn't true then because it wasn't allowed, but there's no problem with it now. The vicar was totally happy. He said to go ahead and do it.
So it will be true, Mum. With Pip's name on the gravestone, Mr. Marchant can collect his spirit from the vet place and guide it to a new home with him and his wife.
Well, yes. Yes, let's hope so. You seem very sure.
I am sure, Mum. I know that's what Mr. Marchant wants.
Well, Mr. Jarvis apparently finished cleaning the headstone and adding the new name yesterday.
Come on, then. Let's go.
Difference. I can see it from here.
It's almost shining. Ray would be very happy.
Oh, yes. I mean, what a difference. And there it is. And their faithful dog, Pip. Oh, that's really nice.
He's made a super job of it. You could believe it's been there for 150 years, couldn't you? He's even copied the old font.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great job. Let's hope Tim Marchant is happy about it.
Yes, he is.
What's that?
I said, yes, he is. They're all standing there now, and they're very happy. Thanks, Dad.
Well, if they're happy, then we are happy too, right?
Right.
Well, I suppose we'd best be getting home.
Yeah. Okay, come on then.
Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Come on then.
Goodbye, Pip.
John Carter was played by Dave Baldwin. Anne Carter by Margaret Baldwin. Tony Carter by T.K. Worrell. Sarah Coles by Amanda Watkins. And Sonia Trubshaw by Jeanette Bennett. Production was by Dave Baldwin. The theme music, Slow Motion, is from bensound.com.